have the privilege today to have a guest preacher with us, and it is Dr. Paul Eijgen, who many of you might know better as Phil's dad. And it just came to me that in my short tenure here at this church, this is already my second Sunday where Bill has been away, and the common thread is that he hasn't asked me to preach either time, but he's asked one of the Eijgens. So first it was Phil, and now his dad, Dr. Paul Eijgen, is here. So please give him a warm welcome as he brings a word.
See, that's what happens if you live long enough. You sort of bask in the reputation of your children. But there's one condition that goes with that, and that is that while they were very little, you sort of knew what you were doing. It doesn't happen by magic, believe me. A personal word for just a minute before I launch into my message. Most of you may know I am about halfway through the recovery period from hip replacement surgery, and so if you see me walking with a little limp, you'll understand why. I'm trusting in another 2 or 3 months I'll be able to run up and down the stairs like a youngster. I told the doctor I didn't want to have the surgery unless he could promise me that would happen. So I'm looking forward to running up and down the stairs, believe me. We're coming to the table, and we know what the table stands for, but I'd like you to come today in a slightly different way than we usually come to it. I really don't want to preach, I just want to talk to you about what this table is all about. It's really more a personal testimony after years of walking through life with the Jesus of the table. I want to share that with you. And I'm going to ask if you will use your imagination and understand with me that when we come to the table, this Jesus who meets us there and greets us with the symbols of the bread and the cup, that this Jesus wants to tell us something. And it is not a general message about he came to save the world, although that's what he did come for. And that's really what this table is saying. But the message that he wants to give to each of us is a very personal message. It's an individual message. It's from the heart of God through Christ to your heart and mine. And as you know your own inner life, you understand that each of us needs from this divine friend, this Lord Jesus, each of us needs something that speaks not only to the glory and the success and the joy and the happiness of the new year, but something that speaks to our brokenness, something that touches the pain that we have spent so much of our lives trying to run away from. Something so intimately part of our deep selfhood that we rarely want to go there ourselves. And Jesus invites us with a love that never goes away. As a dear lady told the children, Jesus loves us so much that he will never let us go no matter how much it hurts deep down inside. So come in that spirit to the table. Come seeking healing for the pain that in our culture we have so cleverly learned how to disguise and pretend doesn't exist at all. You know, a friend of mine said to me the other day, wouldn't it be wonderful if when we went out of church, instead of saying, how are you, we could say, because we trusted each other this much in the friendship of Jesus, in the community which that friendship establishes, we can say to each other, I'm hurting, can I talk to you about it? Wouldn't that be great? My mother's sick, my kids are ill, my husband doesn't have a job, and I'm scared, fitless, to use the vernacular. Dying inside, because my wife of 50 years is slowly slipping away. It's not as light as it used to be. It gets a little dark sometimes. Can you hold my hand and just tell me it's going to be okay because he's nearby, this Jesus at the table? Does it make sense? You see, I don't have time to lay it all out here today. Some of you know part of the story with me. I'm just asking you to look at your own story. My mother was not available to me for 4 or 5 years of my life. You know what that did to me? It left me so lonely that I can still feel it. And I need to come to the table where somebody tells me that they are never, ever going to leave me alone again. Wow! And the little boy in me goes, oh my God, life and light. And I stand before you in my 88th year, persuaded beyond any doubt that there is nothing in heaven or in hell or in the all of the created order that will ever, ever separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. You see, I need each of you. I do. And when you walk away without saying hi or how is it or smiling in my direction or touching me, what you do to me is you throw me back into that scariness of those first 5 years when there wasn't anybody around to love me the way the little boy needed to be loved. Two stories. And then we'll come to the table. I think you understand what I'm talking about. Very simply, when we come to the table, let's quit pretending that everything's okay. Because it isn't. And you and I know it isn't. I was in a home, I haven't gotten to two stories yet. I was in a home brightly lighted with all the Christmas stuff. Not this year, last year, I'm thinking about it. And everybody in that household was trying to pretend that everything was bright and glorious and this was a joyous Christmas. It wasn't. Nobody would say so. A son had died in Iraq in a war that some of us wonder why we're over there. That's a whole other sermon. How do you pretend everything's all right when your son lies unburied in the desert sand halfway around the world? I'm just saying, let's quit pretending and understand that the table is a symbol of the man, God, who knew that everything was not okay. And it was even going to get worse. And he knew the only answer that he could give to those frightened men sitting in front of him was that he would always be there holding them in the palm of his hand. Come to the table and ask the Jesus who knows how much it hurts just to hold your hand and never let it go. See, children go away from home and spouses get old and we die and we leave dear ones There's only one hand that never lets us go. Please, dear ones, this might be the last sermon I ever have a chance to preach. I am determined to let you know what I believe from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Let the love of God that will never let you go hold you close so that you will never need to be afraid of the dark again. When I was 17, this first joint, when I was 17, based on my history, I didn't know it then, but I was looking for something. And I was at a great youth convention, probably 4,000 or 5,000 kids of my age there. And somebody sang a song which I'd never heard before, and the words have rung in my mind and heart ever since. No longer lonely. That lovely voice floated out to me where I sat in the front row of the balcony. No longer lonely, because Jesus is the friend of friends to me. You think the little child in me didn't respond to that? I might have been 17 years old on the outside, but I was 3 and 4 and 5 crying for my mommy. So lonely I couldn't stand it, and trying to pretend that everything was okay. And somebody in a song told me that I didn't need to be lonely anymore. And I remember going down front as we used to do, and it was like Jesus stood there as he's standing at the table, and he wrapped his arms around me and he just said, "I'm glad you're here. Wow, am I glad I'm here." And if you haven't had that experience, get it this morning, will you? Come, if it's loneliness, come and let him put his arms around you and say, "I'm glad you're here." We're going to sing a song after a bit, because there was another song that took me another step into the faith. And it was, oh love that will not let me go. And you know, most of the time, and I'm being as honest and as authentic as I know how to be appropriately in the pulpit, excuse me, when I come with my brokenness, with my fear of the dark, with my loneliness, with my sense that I'm not sure anybody cares that much about me, when I look back across the years and I'm not much of a success as the world counts success, I used to think it mattered a whole lot how big your bank account was. I'm not really sure it matters that much anymore. Believe me, I'm not putting it down. God bless you if you got $1 million. But all I'm telling you, if you're lonely, $1 million isn't going to love you. And if you're afraid, $1 million is not going to take the fear away and give you peace. And if you're walking in the dark of uncertainty, that kind of, oh my God, what's going to happen tomorrow feeling, your $1 million isn't going to help much. So let's forget $1 million and come with the loneliness and the fear and the uncertainty and be loved by the friendship of the Jesus of the tape. One more story. When I was about 10, apropos of what we used to do most summers as a family, go up near Mount Baldy, you know, Ice House Canyon area. It's all built up now, I understand, but it was wild country then. And pitch a tent near the stream and camp for a couple of weeks. And this 10-year-old kid thinks he knows all about the mountains and the woods and all that nonsense. And so one morning I tell my folks I'm going to go up this trail a ways and I'll be back. So I start up the trail and I walk a couple of miles, I guess, and I see some flowers over here that caught my attention and I ran over there and I messed around in the flowers for a while. It was wonderful. But then I couldn't find my way back to the trail. I'm not sure why. But once you get off that trail, it's pretty well marked. You're out here, I don't know where this is anymore. Well, sometimes that's been pretty much the metaphorical picture of my life. The trail is not always clear, and I've been messing around in the flowers or sometimes the weeds, and I can't find my way back. Well, on this particular occasion, the 10-year-old just sat there. And 2 or 3 hours later, my father came, and he put his arms around me, and he said, "Son, were you scared?" I said, "No." "You weren't afraid?" "No." "You didn't worry?" "No." "You didn't get anxious?" "No." "Why not?" "Because I knew you loved me, Dad. And wherever I was, you'd find me." I don't know whether you're on the trail today or not, or out with the weeds and the flowers, but wherever you are, come to the table and let somebody find you and never let you go. God bless you, dear ones, and have a wonderful, wonderful, Christ-filled love life. And let's start it at the table, okay? God bless you all.